murder, or whether it was his brother. I don't know. That extraordinary day had an extraordinary end. I followed Mrs. Salmon out of the court. There was a big crowd of people outside the courtroom who were waiting, of course, for the twins. The police tried to make the crowd go away, but all they could do was keep the road clear for traffic. The police tried to get the twins to leave by a back door, but they refused. One of them, no one knew which, said,
"Why by the back door? I've been acquitted, haven't I?"
And they walked out of the front entrance. Then it happened. I don't know how, though I was only 6 feet away. The crowd moved, and somehow, one of the twins was pushed onto the road right in front of a bus. He gave a scream, and that was all. He was dead. His brother looked straight at Mrs. Salmon. He was crying, but whether he was the murderer or the innocent man, nobody will ever know. But if you were Mrs. Salmon, could you sleep at night?
Part 3.
The lawyer for the defense took a look round the court for a moment. Then he said,
"Do you mind, Mrs. Salmon, examining again the people in court? Stand up, please, Mr. Adams."
There, at the back of the court, with a well-built body and a pair of bloodshot eyes, was a man who looked exactly like the prisoner. He was even dressed the same, a tight blue suit and a striped tie.
"Now, think very carefully, Mrs. Salmon. Can you still swear that the man you saw in Mrs. Parker's garden was the prisoner, and not this man, who is his twin brother? You can't be sure, can you?"
Of course she couldn't. She looked from one to the other and didn't say a word. The prisoner sat in the dock, and the other man stood at the back of the court, and they both stared at Mrs. Salmon. She shook her head. That was the end of the case. None of the witnesses were prepared to swear that it was the prisoner he'd seen. The brother had his alibi, too. He had been with his wife. And so the man was acquitted because there was no evidence. But whether he committed the